Killa.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. So, $45 million have walked out of this town in the last couple of months between Joey Harrington and Charles Rogers. And, well, first of all, as far as cutting Charles, you didn't have a problem with that, did you?
Well, I don't think he had any choice. It wasn't Marinelli that cut Rogers. It was Rogers who cut Rogers. All he had to do, Drew, was show anything in that last week of preseason, give them anything to hold on to let them know that he wanted to play. I mean, they wanted to keep him. People think that this was a message and they wanted to get rid of him. That's not the case at all. They already spent all the money. They wanted to see the Charles Rogers they saw in those first four or five games of his rookie season. But that guy never showed up again after the second, collarbone injury. So that guy was gone. He's been gone. And all these people who keep going, he's a player on Sundays and all that. That guy has never shown up. So it's not a situation where they were sending a message or anything like that. They wanted him to stay, but he just absolutely refused to meet him even halfway.
And he didn't even show up at his exit interview, I guess. Was it every player cut that actually contacted the Lions with the exception of Chuck?
It's a normal procedure to come in and talk to the coaches and all that, because here's the thing, in the NFL, there's a very good chance that you might be playing for one of these guys again.
Sure.
And a lot of times when, it's like, coaches do like certain players, even if they do get cut. So when they go somewhere else, you see it all the time. You saw Marinelli bringing in all these Tampa guys, Damian Gregory, guys like that. They never would have got a shot if it wasn't for Marinelli coaching them in Tampa. So you never want to burn your bridges. But I think that's a window to Rodgers' character. I think he was, and also what's interesting about this is you have to wonder now, and I don't think you can discount the possibility that Rodgers was actually basically sabotaging his deal in Detroit, because in the pregame warm-ups of the Buffalo game, that last preseason game where he had to show something, he was screwing up his routes in the pregame warm-ups.
Oh, come on.
Two people told me that. I asked Millen about it, and he just kind of, rolled his eyes, would not confirm or deny it, which makes me believe that's exactly what happened.
Now, when you say screwing up his routes, do you mean on purpose or he doesn't know?
I don't know what his motives are. I don't think anybody knows really what his motives are. But really, what difference does it make? If you're at that point in training camp, the final preseason game, and you don't even know your routes and pregame warm-ups, especially with this coaching staff, which puts a huge premium on knowing the offense inside and out, that was the death knell right there. That regardless of what happened before, they knew that this guy was not going to be into it, was not interested in making it, and that's why he only played 10. I'm surprised he even played in the game, considering that.
Wow. Well, as one who likes the old style coaches and liked it when coaches ran everything and doesn't like the new touchy feely system we seem to have with college coaches and even professional coaches, and also the idea that players get coaches fired, I've always thought all these new developments were kind of ridiculous. I'm starting to like this Lions coaching staff. I think this is a really good move for them.
Well, it's going to be interesting. At least they're consistent. That's the one thing. Now, we don't know how that's going to parlay its way into victories and all that kind of thing, but they're consistent with what they want. And really, I think Marinelli's message to everybody is, look, nobody's going to be given any special favors here. Don't tell me that you're a great player on Sunday and that's going to get you there, because you cannot build a cohesive team if one or two guys want to change the rules for themselves. And that's why he refuses to knuckle under to that. That's why Dan Wilkinson had to go. He refused to say, even though Wilkinson could have helped him, he said, I'm not going to let some guy miss the first couple weeks of training camp just because, he doesn't want to do it. If we're not all this together, it's not going to work. And that's been his message, and he's been fairly consistent with it.
Well, Wilkinson ended up in Miami. Harrington is in Miami. And with Nick Saban and Bobby Williams in Miami, it only seems natural that this would be the place where Charles would land.
Well, they do know him best, and they haven't called him. So you've got to want. You know what's interesting about?
Yeah, they know him best.
Yeah, they know him. I mean, and Bobby Williams and Charles had a very good relationship, but I'm sure that at some point, and Bobby Williams might want him there, but I'm sure that Nick Saban said to him, "Listen, is he gonna hurt us or is he gonna help us?" And I'm not sure that Bobby Williams really knows the answer to that question.
Well, yeah, and he's got to put his ass on the line.
Absolutely, and I'm not so sure that how far he wants to push it, because this is going to be Bobby Williams probably his last stop in the NFL. And the only reason he got this job was because of obviously the Michigan State connection with Saban.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's not going to screw that up. And the other thing I find very interesting is that the Green Bay Packers only have four receivers on their roster. And one, they did not claim Rodgers, and he would have been pretty cheap with his salary. And second, they haven't even called him. And the Packers are now, believe it or not, more interested in Corn Robinson, who's on the verge of going to jail, as opposed to getting Charles Rodgers. So that's got to tell you something.
Well, Corn Robinson has shown it on the football field fairly recently.
And he just got arrested for you know, he's in the drug program too.
No, I know.
Got arrested for fleeing and eluding police and just in a high speed chase and all this. I mean, this guy's a bad dude, and they're more interested in him than they are Charles Rodgers, who really is not a thug or anything. He just apparently doesn't want to play football.
Wow. So, okay, explain to me the process. And this is in the paper, but I think a lot of people aren't really aware of it. First thing you do is clear waivers.
Right. If you're not a vested veteran, meaning you have 4 years of time in the league, you go through waivers. That means that teams can claim you. It goes in order of basically the order of the draft. So no one claimed him, which means now he is a free agent. He can sign with any team he wants.
And the reason no one claimed him is because if you claim him, you then have to pick up his contract as set forth between the Lions and Rodgers.
Right, but that should not have been an issue because his salary is only $758,000 this year. There's no bonus money attached to it. So basically, that's just it. I mean, that's all it is.
No one in the league is willing to pay him $758,000.
Apparently not. And apparently nobody's knocking down his door now. I mean, here's the thing is you can sign him because he's not vested. You can sign him right now, even for a week. And just pay him whatever it's going to be, 17 grand, whatever it's going to be per week. And that's all you need. You can take a look at him for a couple of weeks, and then if you don't like him, you can cut him. And you don't even have to pay him his whole salary. But nobody is calling this guy yet. And I find that I thought for sure that somebody was going to pick this guy up, but so far nothing. And here we are. We're looking at it's Tuesday already, and teams are already getting ready for Sunday's game, and nobody even wants to bring him in for a sniff. And that's got to tell you something.
You know, I'm thinking about this. I'm trying to think of a receiver or a running back or somebody in a skilled position who literally showed, I don't know, next to nothing in his first 3 years in the league, who proceeded to turn it around. I mean, can you think of many cases like that? 3 years is that's a lot of seasons, and you figure his fourth season is not going to be a banner year either.
Right. No, I mean, you can see, you know, so obviously there's some quarterbacks who just kind of, you know, knocked around and not done much. But as far as running back and receiver, those are the positions that they come to light early. You can really see them because they're just their natural skill positions. It's not a learned position like a quarterback or a baseball pitcher or something like that. So, yeah, I can't think of anybody either. And the thing is, the other thing is, you know, unlike Mike Williams, who hasn't done anything yet, at least Rodgers has those first four or five games when you could see that he was going to be a pretty good player. But that's gone.
And, well, and 20, I think that 22 people, catches, 243 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, he had a presence. I mean, he made plays. I mean, that was the thing. And you could see him diving for the ball, diving catches, all that. There was hustle. He wanted to play. And Drew, we've talked about this, but I'm telling you that the second collarbone injury, something inside of him died. He just didn't want to play football anymore. I don't know if he was just so devastated from all the hard work he put in from the first injury, and then in three plays it's gone, and he just said, you know what, this isn't worth it. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if it was just partying too much. I don't know what it was.
But, well, was he known as a guy that was out late at night on the streets
constantly.
A lot?
Oh, absolutely. That Lions were very – I'll tell you what, the interesting thing about this is that at the end of the offseason workouts, he really came on like the last two or three weeks. Mike Martz was fired up about it. He thought, okay, if this is what this guy's going to give me, I've got a place for him in my offense. But then they took 5 weeks off. And the Lions were very concerned about that, about what was going to happen with him in those 5 weeks. He does party a lot, and they were worried about if he would revert to his old habits, you know, and when he came back, apparently something happened because he was as bad as he's ever been. He wasn't playing hard, the hustle was gone, and the Lions knew right from the start, from that first week of camp. Remember, he was with the number two offense, remember that?
Yeah.
They had moved him up, and it was less than a week later that they had dropped him down to 3-4 because it wasn't there anymore.
Wow. Well, what a disappointment, you know, to get so little out of these two big picks we had. I mean, I could see one of them being a bust, but both of them. And then Mike Williams is the other thing. Things are not looking great for him. He's the number six receiver, correct?
He is. And the only reason he's going to be dressed for this game and maybe for a week or two after that is because the rookie, undrafted rookie, Sean Botiford, has a knee injury and might not play. So, but if Botiford was healthy, the decision, because they're going to make one of those receivers inactive because you can only dress 45 guys on game day, so eight guys have got to be put down. So that fifth receiver spot would be between Botiford and Williams. Well, Botiford's a kick returner, plays all special teams, all that, so he's going to be active, and that means that Mike Williams won't be. So it's very possible that Mike Williams will be inactive for most of the season, unless he turns it around in practice and starts showing something. But right now, the coaches are not high on him at all.
Well, with Mike Williams, as Rodgers' fate became more and more plausible, and I think as the days got closer, it seemed pretty obvious he was going to get cut, has Mike Williams improved his play in practice at all? Has he stepped it up a notch?
You know, they say yes. I mean, talking to Millen yesterday, he said, yeah, you know, he's getting better. He's still overweight, by the way. He's still getting fined. But he says it's better. It's a better situation. Well,
how much does he get fined for being overweight?
It's like, I think it's $400 per pound per day.
Ooh.
So it's something like that. But
how overweight is he?
Way overweight, but he still is not down to the 220 they want him at.
Okay. Where is he? Do you know? 225?
No, they won't tell us. God love him, but you can't trust Mike Williams either, because he sees the world through a little different prism than the rest of us. You know, and look, it's embarrassing for him. He thinks that he doesn't think he even needs to be 220, and that's the other issue. He thinks that he's fine at, 227 or whatever he's at. So you've got a guy right now who in his head doesn't even think he should be 220.
Yeah.
So that's an issue right there.
He's listed at 229 in Saturday's paper.
Yeah, those numbers are, I think somebody just makes those up. I'm not sure that that's But yeah, I think he's probably down to about 225, something like that. But again, and he's going to hire a nutritionist and all that, but he's still having trouble getting down there. And it's not just the weight, it's the conditioning. I mean, this guy is still not in the kind of condition that the Lions coaches want him at. I mean, this is a very high-tempo offense. And what's interesting about these guys, they do so much running in camp and practices that not once the entire year did they ever run wind sprints afterwards. That's how much running they do in practice. And he's still not in the shape they want him.
When you say not in the shape, does that mean at the end of practice he's dogging it on patterns? Or where do you see
that? Well, it's not even at the end of practice. It's if you're running a bunch of plays in a row and you're not running them at full speed and coming in and out of your breaks with the right tempo, things like that. That's what they're looking for.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, that's just another $10 million wasted. So
yeah.
Now that's $55 million that they're going to lose in first round picks and get almost nothing out of.
Unbelievable. Well, Killer, thanks a lot. This is as expected. No big surprise. Going into Saturday, you certainly thought he was gone.
Yeah, look, like I said, they gave him every opportunity to try to do it, and when he just wouldn't meet him even halfway, they knew it was over.
All right, Killer. Well, I guess we don't have an official prediction for this weekend, do we? But you're not playing in any major upsets at Ford Field?
No, I wouldn't think so. But the over-under, I said it before, the over-under is 45, and if you want to make some quick cash, take the over.
All right. Oh, by the way, I looked up that sports betting story, and Casino Windsor will begin offering sports betting this Friday. A Riverfront Casino opening a multi-million-dollar, 170-seat sports lounge where gamblers can wager on pro football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, as well as college football and basketball. And they have a picture of it on 2A in Friday's Detroit News. So we'll see you over there, Killer.
I'll be wearing the fake beard.
All right.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Yeah, let's play.
Killer brought to you by the mortgage experts at Rock Financial.